Praise God. Our members are not here, they're going to miss today's sermon, right? All right, let's go into God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go into your word, I thank you because your word is where two or three are going to dare you right now. Thank you because you help us to see the scriptures. Our life will be transformed by your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, praise God. So four weeks ago, we started talking about praying in the Spirit. I wish I could go back, right, to everything we said, but I'd like to tell everyone that we need to cultivate a habit of prayer. Pray. Now, I've said a lot in the last 3 weeks, and I'm not able to go back, but there are a few things I want to say. God responds to prayer. God responds to prayer. Sometimes we may feel that he's not answering. Sometimes we may feel he's slow. But I can tell you, he's neither of those two. He responds to prayer. I'm saying that because I've been in those situations where it looked as if I was wasting my time praying. And sometimes when preachers preach, they preach like every time they pray, there was one super, you know, move of God. But whether you see it, something, I don't see something, I want you to be rest assured that God responds to prayer. All right, let's start. Luke chapter 1, verse 18, verse 1. This has been our key scripture, and you can go to Spotify. I can send you the link on Spotify. We have all the messages we'll be preaching in the last month. So let's start. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Amplified says something better. I like it amplified. Hope the light is not dimming this stuff. It's good, right? He said Jesus told a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, or give up. So there's a tendency to give up. There's a tendency to lose heart. There's a tendency to faint. But if you're not going to faint, then you have to pray. Pray. You see, prayer is not, a lot of people fear, some people wonder why some people pray so much. Some of them wonder why some people don't pray at all. There are always two extremes in life. But I've learned from a dear man of God, stay in the middle of the road. Always stay in the middle of the road. He says, they ought always to pray. Men, we all should pray. Don't become a coward. Don't faint. Don't lose. Look, if you don't pray, you will give up. If you don't pray, you will give up on that God-given dream. You know why? There is no spiritual energy. There is no spiritual drive. A lot of people think that the drive they get in life is from their mental ability. No, there's a limit to what your mental ability can take. How far can take you? Just try New Year resolutions. January 1st. By January 30th, you've broken half of them already. You need spiritual energy. Thessalonians says 5:16 says, rejoice forevermore, pray without ceasing. And I like to emphasize this because a lot of times when people get comfortable, they stop praying. Check your own personal life. When things are going very well, if suddenly your prayer time drops, and you know, those days, maybe you were believing God for, let me use a phone, for example. Those days when we used to need a phone. Getting a phone back in Africa, getting a phone was a very big thing. And when you get a phone, that's when you use your prayer in your phone. You now got the phone, you now spend more time with the phone. I forgot the person that provided the phone for you. It's normal with human beings. But Bible says whether you're doing well or you're not doing well, pray. So prayer is not for the poor. It's an assumption by people that are rich that only poor people pray. Only those in need pray. No, everybody should pray. Alright. Let's keep this one. Oh, let's go back. So this is the foundation of everything we're talking about this month. 18 says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. You want to do something, pray. You want to get a house, pray. You want to send your kids to school, pray. Pray. You want to get a job. If you have two jobs right now offering you the same amount of money, well, how are you going to choose which one? You choose the two. Are you going to split yourself? And both of them are impressive. They are not hybrid. How do you know which one to pick? And both of them are 5 minutes drive from your house. How do you pick? Or for a lady, you have two guys asking her. Both of them are. You know, when I say two guys, some think one is not spiritual, one is spiritual. No, both of them are very spiritual. They are tongue talking and they are boxed. They are doing well. Right? Maybe one works for Amazon, one works for Microsoft. Any 7 figures each. How are you going to pick? And they're both good looking. 6 packs, 6'6", everything. Drive good cars. You have to pray to take such decisions. You can't make life important decisions just by what you see or feel. You have to pray. Alright, next slide. So Acts chapter 10, verse 16, I said something before about never you forget that God responds to your prayer. So I want to show you something. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. It says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as Italian regiment, right? This guy was a general, right? In Italian and Roman army. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generosity to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Look at that word. Prayed to God. This guy was doing well. And that's one of the things I want to emphasize. He was not a pauper. He was not one guy that didn't know his left from his right, that was down, broke, nothing. No. He prayed, doing well, but he knew that there was more to his life than what he had. One day at about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. When you pray, it goes to God. That's what I want to bring out today. Never you feel your prayers are wasted. There is an account of your prayer in heaven. And when it is time for it to manifest, it would manifest. Praise God. Hallelujah. It will manifest. It will manifest. It will manifest. Give me next slide. So, we talked about praying in tongues, praying in the spirit. What does it mean to pray in tongues? And we've said a lot. Praying in tongues. How important it is to spend time praying in tongues. I tell people, invest in praying in the spirit. Invest in praying in the spirit. It's never a wasted effort. Go back. It's never a wasted effort. And one of the things we found out that praying in the spirit is speaking to God. Praying in the spirit is speaking the language of God. Praise God. So let's go to, but today I want to address the misconceptions why people don't want to pray in the spirit. Why do people drag their feet when it comes to speaking in tongues? And I just highlighted three of them. Let's go to the first one. It says one, it's a gift for some special people. Why do people not speak in tongues? Why do people not speak in their heavenly language? People feel that it's for some special people. You have to be high up there with God to begin to speak in tongues. Praise God. Mark 16:17 says, and this sign shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall what? Cast out what? Demons. They will speak with new tongues. It says, this sign shall follow them that what? Believe. Do you believe? Are you a believer? Am I a believer? Are you a believer? Every believer should speak in tongues. Every believer should speak in tongues. Do not for once doubt that it's not for you. Never you doubt it once. It says, all believers should speak in tongues. So the day you receive Jesus into your life, you became a believer. You should spend time praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Praise God. You know, after I got born again, I would say that this is probably the next most important thing I would recommend for anybody. Even if you don't know anything else, learn to pray in the Spirit. It will guide you into God's plans for your life. It will guide you into when you read your Bible, you understand. It's speaking in tongues is everything. It's everything. I tell people it's everything. It's not something you just it's not just one of the things we do in Christianity. It's an integral part of our Christian existence. Praise God. So people have this misconception that speaking in tongues is for some people that are special. You have to have served God for 10 years. You have to have gone to the Bible school. You have to have attained some spiritual heights for you to be able to speak in tongues. No. So second conception. The misconception, another misconception that people have, that it's not as we will, but as the Spirit wills. Come on. People don't want to speak in tongues because they feel that they have to be... They have to be possessed. You want to be possessed before they speak in tongues. They mean that, when I mean possessed, mean that something is moving them. You know, I want to speak in tongues, but I need something to move me. No, you don't need to be moved. Praise God. The day you got born again and you got filled with the Spirit, you can't speak in tongues. You should speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:4-15. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion there? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will. What is a will? Will is you're in control. Right? If I say, I will go home, meaning that I have a choice. I'm in control. Nobody's going to force me to do it. So when he says, I will pray with the Spirit, he was saying he's in control. So if he wants to speak in tongues now, he can wake up and speak in tongues. If he doesn't want to speak in tongues, he doesn't want to speak in tongues. You are in control. I'm in control. The way you speak in English, I mean, absolute control, you can also choose to speak in the Spirit. If you're a child of God, you are filled with the Spirit of God. So that misconception should be taken away as well. Right? The third misconception. Until I live a holy life. And this one is very important because I've seen people that think that the reason why they can't speak in tongues is because they messed up, they did something wrong, and God's angry with them, so they can't be filled with the Spirit, and that's wrong. That's very wrong. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Verse 2. says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were what? Not able to receive it. And even now, you are still unable. And why did I bring out this scripture? The Corinthian church was the most carnal church. These guys were very carnal. But they spoke in tongues so much that Paul had to write them about speaking in tongues. But they are very carnal. So carnal that one of them was sleeping with his father's wife. He was not sleeping, he was living with his father's wife. That's how carnal they were. In fact, look at what he said in verse 3. He said, if you are still carnal, for you are still carnal, he was telling them, you guys speak in tongues, but you are still carnal. For where there is envy, there's strife, there's division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Meh, meh. These guys were very carnal. So, you know, when I was not a Christian, I used to see people, young ladies that were in court, were not living right, but they were going to church. And I always say, no, this is what they're doing us. They're not real Christians. I always say, no, no, no. How can you say you're serving in church and the next time I see you doing something funny? No, you can't be. It's not possible. It's because we don't understand that when you get born again, your spirit gets born again. You now have to grow like a child. You have to feed on God's word and grow. Are you struggling in any area of your life? You have not grown in that area spiritually. Let me use anger, for example. You know, you can be born again and still have temper issues. The only way to deal with it is to use God's word and train yourself in that area. So because you have temper issues, you won't say you're not born again. No! So if I tell someone that you can't be a Christian because you get angry a lot, you say, Pastor, that's not correct. But if I tell someone else that you are doing something funny, maybe something sexual, for example, you're doing something sexual, so because of that, you're not a Christian. You say, no, Pastor, the person cannot be a Christian and be doing that. No. If the person has not trained themselves in God's word, your flesh can do anything, I'm telling you. If you allow your flesh to control you, you'll be shocked at the atrocities you will commit. You'll be shocked at the atrocities you will commit if you allow this flesh to be in control. If you allow this flesh to be in control, praise God. It's like a guy that likes to hit ladies, for example. And he always feels he's in charge. No, she said something funny to me, so I gave her a punch or I did something. If, how many of you know The Rock? You know The Rock? If The Rock said something funny to him, he's going to try to hit The Rock. Suddenly, we have self-control. Suddenly, he might even thank The Rock for saying that nasty thing to him. What have changed? The consequences of his actions at the back of his mind. He might end up in ER after a session with The Rock. But a lady says something similar, and suddenly he feels very masculine. So it's control. So because you're having a character flaw does not mean you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and speak in tongues. In fact, the Spirit of God is there to help you to overcome that character flaw. That's why the Holy Ghost was sent. So if you're not speaking in tongues and doing the things of the Spirit, you are shortchanging yourself from overcoming that thing that you feel is stopping you from being filled with the Spirit of God. Next slide. You know, let me read the Amplified version of this. It's 1 Corinthians 3:3. It says, for are you still unspiritual? This is the church. This is the guys that had the power of God. Look, the power of God was moving in Corinthian church like crazy. But he said, you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envy and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh? behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men. I like that word. Unchanged, meaning that they were changed already, but their behavior did not reflect the change. But that didn't stop them from speaking in tongues. Praise God. So conception, misconception number one is that it's for some special people. If I'm going to speak in tongues, I need to be some special person. No, it's for all believers. Misconception number two. Or number two. Will, yeah. I need to be moved by God. I need to get some spiritual ecstasy to be able to speak in tongues. No, it's your will. Number three is I have to live some kind of a holy life. Right? If you have any of these conceptions, it's not of God. Amen. Next slide. So I want to say something about benefits of spiritual exercise. Right? As we bring this series to an end. Number one, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. This is very important. Can you say with me, spiritual exercise? So I'll give you an illustration that the Lord showed me in 2002. You know, I remember the day I got born again, 2002. So, 2003. So one day I saw my friends going to pray. My two closest friends still now. 19 years after, they are still after my wife. They're still my two closest friends. And both of them said they were going to pray for 6 hours. No, they didn't tell me. So they went to pray together for 6 hours on their own. They were not pastors. They were 20, we are 19, 20, 21. We're all young chaps in school. And they came back. I said, "Where are you guys coming from?" I said, "You went to pray 6 hours." I said, "What?" And we are friends. No. You guys can't leave me behind. So the next Friday, I took myself somewhere on campus to pray by myself for 6 hours. It was as if I was going to die. What? What in the world? Am I going to do myself for 6 hours? And I went to pray. And I prayed. When I finished, I started from 12 o'clock in the middle of the night. And I finished at 6 a.m. And as I was done, I saw people coming to work out, running, exercising. And the Lord gave me an illustration that has stayed with me forever. And He said to me, He said, spiritual exercise like natural exercise. In fact, then I need to know the scripture. If you go to the gym, for example, and you work out or you push weights, you know that every time you do that, your muscles expand. Right? The muscles get bigger. It's not going to show the first day. It's not going to show the third day. But if you are consistent, after a while, your physique will change. And the Lord told me again that if you do the same thing spiritually, after a while, it will show in your life. That marked a change in how I do prayer. So, I don't need church to call for prayer for me to pray. I can choose to pray by myself 2 hours, 3 hours. Because for me, it's like going to the gym. If I keep doing it, the results will show. Jesus said something. He said, your Father that sees you praying in secret will reward you in the open. Prayer is so important. Prayer is so important. So look at, let's read this. It says here, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profited you too, so it's good to exercise bodily. But I want to tell you something. If you spend more time exercising your body than your spirit, one day your spirit will carry something that cannot help itself. But because you've not built your spirit, you're going to have problems. Never you exercise your body more than your spirit. We are in a time where people have, there's a lot of focus on physical exercise. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? I believe in that. I believe in training your body. But never do that so much at the expense of your spirit. You know? So it says, bodily exercise. So there's profit for body, exercising your body. But it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of this life that now is, and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 is awesome. The same Amplified now says, for physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way. Do you know that if you are spiritual, you will do better at your job? If you are spiritual, you will do better as a parent. If you train yourself spiritually, you will do better as a husband or a wife. I don't believe that unrealistic statement that spiritual people are just spiritual, they're not good socially, or they're just spiritual, they're not good romantically. I have issues with those kind of statements. A spiritual guy is a romantic guy. You won't believe. I'm telling you. Because if you train yourself to know the Holy Spirit, He will tell you how to treat your spouse. He will tell you when to keep quiet, when to speak, when there's an argument. He will tell you when to buy stuff. He will tell you, look, your wife is angry now. Don't even go there. Right? He will tell you. He says he's profiting in everything at your job, in school. If you're spiritual, the Holy Spirit, your spiritual training affects every area of your life. Your spiritual training affects your decision making. How do you know how to invest in a business? Oh, you just check the pros and the cons. How many of you have ever lost money in a business? I lost some money 2 years ago. I'm so pained. Now I'm talking about, I'm still pained. I'm not talking about maybe $500. No. Thousands of dollars. More than $10,000. I wish I was just a little bit more sensitive. I was having that restraint. Don't. But the profit margin was big. I lost some money because I was sensitive. And guess what? Sometime early this year, another offer came to do some investment. And they called me. And they put me on the Zoom meeting with the investor, with the guys, blah, blah, blah. I was already very sharp in my spirit. I told them, no way. I said, I'm not investing. No, I'm not. 1 month after that conversation, that particular investment crashed. It crashed so bad, right? I probably have lost more than $10,000. I learned my lesson the hard way. This time, as I was talking to them, I was listening to my spirit. I was praying in tongues. I was talking to them. They didn't know. I was checking my spirit that this one, should die or should I not? God, you don't want to lose $10,000 twice. So it's very important. Praise God. It's profiting. I'm telling you, it's profiting. Who to marry is profiting. I know a man of God that is late today. He lost one of his sons, committed suicide. And this son was the smartest of all his children. And when he was writing a book, he said the mistake he made with that boy, because the boy was so brilliant, he felt he was sent to the best school in the U.S. to go and study whatever the boy wanted. He said he never prayed to ask God how I was supposed to raise that boy. You know, some of us as parents, we are just led by the gifts of our children. There's much more than that. Eventually, the young guy got into the U.S., he got into drugs, and took a gun and put it to his head. And this was the smartest kid.
Said the only mistake, and this person is probably one of the biggest evangelists in his time. Said the mistake he made with that boy, he never prayed to ask God how he was supposed to raise the boy, if he was supposed to go to that particular school. Praise God. Next slide. So, as we wrap up, I want to say some things, right? As we bring this to a wrap. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what this whole story is all about. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:21-24. Jesus said, the Father seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you're going to worship God successfully, you have to do it in the spirit. You have to do it the way God wants it. And one of the ways of doing that is by learning to speak in other tongues and pray in the spirit. Next slide. Right? So one of the things, the spirit of the benefit of speaking in tongues is it's a door into the realm of the spirit. If God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, the fastest way to get into the realm of the spirit is by speaking in tongues.
Praise God.
It's by speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says, for if we speak in a tongue that does not speak to men, but if he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit. So if you speak in tongues, you're speaking in the spirit. You are in the realm of the spirit. Everybody say in the spirit. Come on, say in the spirit. Many people think that everything that moves in this world is run in the natural. No. There's another world that is more real than this one. It's the realm of the spirit. And if you're going to be successful in this world, you must learn to engage the supernatural. So speaking in tongues is a door into the realm of the spirit. It's a door. It's a door. You want to get into the spiritual realm, speak in tongues quickly. You know, back in Africa, we know a lot of voodoo priests. Voodoo. Where we go and they say they, you know, some people part of this world might not understand. But they would be here. Spirits, because is it spirits or what they call them? Yeah. You know, sometimes when I drive, when I come back from work, there's one I always see on the road. Sometimes I always say that one day, maybe I'll just pay her a visit. I'm serious. I'm thinking of one of these days, I should walk into her. She said she's not walking. I'm thinking of one of these days, I should just walk in and pay her a visit. And ask her, what do you see on me? I'm telling you, I am being tempted. You know? What do you see? What do you see? You know, or anything that tells that they can speak to the dead is not of God. That's demonic. Nobody can see your great grandfather. Everybody respects the supernatural. Trust me. Everybody does. Everybody does. So maybe one of these times, will you follow me? We'll go, right? We'll pay a visit and say, what do you see of us? She tells us. Maybe he tells us, she's not here, you're not seeing anything. You are not. So it's a door. It's a door to the realm of the spirit. It says in NIV, indeed no one understands them, but they utter mysteries by the spirit. It's a door. It's a door to the supernatural. It's a door to engage angels. It's a door to rebuke demons. It's a door. Things are not going on well in your family. You don't understand. Maybe there's a negative supernatural around you. Pray in the spirit. If you're going to engage them, how many of you have watched haunted houses? And those documentaries where you say haunted houses. Have you seen those things? You don't know things. Have you seen them? I've not seen them. Oh no! Interesting. Go and look for them. Haunted houses. Some might think those things are not real. Very real. They are haunted houses. Houses where demons have taken over. The owners can't live in there anymore. I tell people that I've had that experience, they will, if I tell you, you don't believe. Yeah, but if you're going to engage such things, what are you going to do? You have to speak in the spirit. You have to engage them in the spirit. And by doing that, you have to speak in tongues. Praise God. Next one. We're wrapping up. Singing in the spirit. You know, the way we can speak in tongues, we can also sing in the spirit. Paul said, I will sing with the spirit and also sing with more understanding. We thank God for the songs that are written down, but there's a song in the spirit as well. When you sing that, your spirit goes to another level. Praise God. I'm rushing, so I can close with the next one. Train your tongue. Some people have a very sharp mouth. You know, in our local palace back in Africa, we use the word sharp mouth. When someone has a sharp mouth, it means the person can talk. But interestingly, a lot of ladies fall into this category. I'm sorry to say, but sharp mouth. If you have your mouth, you say things you don't want to say, right? Pray in tongues often. If you pray in tongues often, you'll put a check on your words. Let me show you how powerful the tongue is. Let me show you. James, we're going to go back. James chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. It says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Verse 6. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is what? Amongst all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. Your tongue can set the whole world. Your tongue can set your life on fire for the negative. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by what? Hell. An untrained tongue is used by the devil. An untrained tongue sets the person's life on fire in the negative. You know, every time I find myself getting agitated easily, there are two things. I'm not reading my Bible as I ought, or I'm not praying the Spirit as I ought. Anyways, I find myself, I'm getting angry, or I'm doing, no. This innocent is not you. It's not you. I put my head in the Word and read my Bible. And I do that after a while, I come back to myself. If you want to control your tongue, you have to speak in tongues. Give me the next slide. It says that, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of what? Deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. And sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. The same mouth we used to bless, the same mouth we used to curse. And so blessing and cursing, coming, pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. But when you pray in tongues, the Bible says we bless. When we speak in tongues, we are speaking blessings. If you're going to control your tongue effectively, then learn to pray in the spirit more often. It helps your faith. Jude 20 says, build up yourself for your most holy faith. Pray in the spirit. Bring up yourself for your most holy faith. Pray in the spirit. How many of you have this feeling sometimes that your faith is low? You know the word of God. Or you know that you have confessed. You know, but you just feel that energy is not there. That's what Paul was talking about here. Jude was talking about here. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Spirit, you give fire to your faith. You've heard the word of God on healing, for example, that God can heal you. But somehow you're feeling, is this good? No, you know the word. You know it. You know what the word of God says. But the faith, there's no fire in your faith. Pray in tongues. How many of you have noticed that when you pray in tongues, as if you are coming alive, the lion in you is waking up? That's what praying in tongues does. It helps your faith. It helps the release of your faith. All right? And I'm going to end with this today. How many times do I have left? This last one, right? Yeah. I want it to be as quick as possible today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. This is one of probably my most favorite parts of the Bible. Some of you wondering why. I'm telling you, this, I would say, is probably one of the best parts of the Bible for me in the epistles. I can spend 3 months every Sunday on the scripture. Every Sunday. I'm not exaggerating. 3 months. It says here, look carefully, then you will walk and live. Ephesians 5, 15 to 20, amplified. Purposefully and worthily and accurately. Not as the unwise or witless, but as wise. It says, look carefully. Then how you walk and live. This is an instruction. It says, live purposefully, worthily, accurately. Not as what? Everybody say unwise. So, believers can live unwise lives. They can live their lives anyhow. But as wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Verse 16. Making the most of every time. Buying up each opportunity. Because what? The days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity you get. Make the most of every opportunity. I was talking to one of our leaders back home this morning. And I was telling him, I said, you've learned a lot in God's word. It's time for you to go and teach other people. Make the most of every opportunity you have. Because the days are evil. You are not going to be 20 forever. You're never going to be 40 forever. You're not going to be 60 forever. One day you're going to be 70. 80. You're going to ask yourself, what did I do the opportunities that came my way? And nobody wants to live in regret. Verse 17 says, therefore do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding firmly and grasping what the will of the Lord is. Next one. Verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine. So he said everything about living purposefully, and he said, with living purposefully, do not get drunk with wine. So the issue of alcohol, I'm not even going there. That's not my bit. But he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Live your lives like wise people. Buy every opportunity. And also, stay filled with the Spirit of God. Stay filled. Stay filled. Stay filled. Stay filled. Every day stay filled. How are you going to stay filled? By speaking in tongues often. You were filled. How many of you ate yesterday? Anybody of us are not eating today? Right? But you're going to eat today. When you say the food of yesterday is going to sustain you today. No. So the same word you heard yesterday, the same prayer you prayed yesterday. You say, I prayed yesterday. Someone said, I prayed. Lord, the one I'm praying today is for 2 years. Is enough. I'm not going to pray again. No. You have to stay filled with the Spirit. Stay filled. Stay sharp. If you're going to stay filled, you have to speak in tongues often. I tell people, especially when you're the young, we are still young. Pray like mad when you are single. Because when you get married, you know, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that when you are married, your attention is divided. I didn't say it's the Bible that said it, right? So like me, I've got 3 kids and a wife, right?
If I go somewhere and I'm there for 2-3 hours, I'm going to call, oh, daddy, this is not working. Daddy, I'm distracted. I'm going to try to manage that as much as I can. But when I was not married, no children, oh my goodness, I could lock myself up for 1 week. I've done it before. I could go 10 days without coming out of my room. I just pray. But I'm not sure I can go 3 hours now without someone coming to knock the door and ask me, daddy, I want to take juice. I want to do this. Maximize the time you have praying the Spirit. Get filled with the Spirit. It's going to help you in the future. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's just stand up on our feet. We're done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you. If you can pray in the Spirit, then we just pray in the Spirit. Oh, we give you praise. You are a good God. We thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. Oh, Laba Koso Brekitina Namasusa Kedebayato. Oh, Shaprogodo Sibanaga Dabagada Babasokoto Shikendi. Embrodo Sokoro Badiba Bakana Mamasuza Liba Bakono Masasa. Aga Laba Kobrono Sokodo Shakini Mamasokodo. We thank you, God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Oh, we declare we are filled with your Spirit. Thank you for helping us with our prayer lives. We give you praise. Libra doso koto shataba. Meko liba badoso prenenama koto imama soso. La kabraka tashika tali babadoso pregede. Amba liba bakoso pregede ke liba basoso. We thank you, God. We declare we are filled with your Spirit. We are good. We are good. We take the right decisions. Hallelujah. We know what to do by time in our finances, in our career, in our businesses. Thank you, Father. As we engage the Spirit of God, we encounter miracles. We encounter miracles. We encounter miracles. We thank you, God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.